Our guest today, playing live on stage at World Cafe Live, is Canadian singer-songwriter Kathleen Edwards. The Ontario native came to prominence with her Failure album in 2003 and has now released her third disc, Asking for Flowers, after her first real break since 2003. She is joined by her band, Joel Anderson on drums, John Dinsmore on bass, Canadian singer-songwriter Jim Bryson on keyboards and electric guitar, and her husband, Colin Cripps, on lead guitar. She began the session by performing the album's title track, Asking for Flowers.
Thank you.
Kathleen Edwards live on the World Cafe. Kathleen, what a great song. You know what's going to happen as soon as you hear the title of it. Asking for where did it come from? The song come from?
The story is about a good friend of mine who struggled with a lot of things in her life, and during one of her hardest times, she and I spent a few days together, and she really kind of helped me understand a lot about what it is like to live with mental illness and struggle every day to sort of make it through that day without feeling beat up. And she told me, you know, I feel like my last few years of my life has been like asking for flowers. So anyway, that song is about a dear friend and somebody who taught me a lot about being compassionate and patient with those who need it most. That's what that song's about. Thank you for asking.
But the other point I kind of make about how when you have details on something, they're kind of universal. I suspect that a lot of men particularly who hear that song get very uncomfortable because they realize, you know, things they haven't done. So
the irony is that it's about a lesbian relationship.
There you go.
It really is. But yeah, it keeps guys on their toes. I've had people send me flowers, which I enjoy. I really am enjoying the benefits of having written that song.
Indeed. Well, this album, you took more time. And I'm wondering, was that too right to center yourself to whatever? Because you seem really... Centered. Until
really,
5 minutes ago, really centered. But you purposely took a lot more time?
Yeah, well, I've sort of been saying that it's difficult to actually record an album you have no songs for. So I had to start from the beginning, and this all kind of started in about 2001 for me, where I started recording my first record, Failure, and it really didn't stop until the spring of 2006. In a sense that I was, you know, major learning curve. I went from waitressing to playing my first television show was David Letterman. I mean, it was crazy. So I went home and got to sit in my pajamas every day for a while and play piano and garden.
I was going to say horticulture. Big theme here. You got your garden together, but you also worked at a winery. What were you doing?
I was enjoying the employee discount by working at the winery. I live in Hamilton, Ontario, which is right sort of on the cusp of the Niagara Peninsula, and there's some great Canadian wineries coming out of there right now. And one of them, a friend of mine was working at, and I just thought, what a great way to spend my spring and summer. And I went out there a couple days a week and wore steel-toed shoes and bottled wine, and then at the end of the day, I would go up and get my bottle to go. That was cheap. It was really nice.
Excellent. And you talked about, you played piano when you were a kid, right? And you started playing more?
Yeah, not well. My mom was a pianist. I never really came above I like the key of C on the piano.
It's the cheapest one, probably. Now, there's also a violin on stage here, which have you ever played? You've never played that in concert, have you?
Not much. I'm just starting again.
And you played that as a kid?
I did. I studied classical violin for about 12 years.
So you were in the school orchestra and all that?
Yes. It's actually the only legitimate talent I have. Yeah.
Au contraire. Anyway, let's hear a couple more from the new album. What do you want to do now?
Okay, well, I'm going to do a song called Run.
you're counting dimes. Is the exit sign backstage at shows? And if it's my favorite letter, as you know, G is for God loves a patient man who spends his days living in ego. You always riding in the cheapest key. You always blame it on the cheapest key. You always blame me in the cheapest key. They say the start to his artist part. Not like you know, baby, I'm all armed up. Yeah, sometimes I want to shout your name out loud and let them in on what you're all about. You always write it in the cheapest key. You always blame it on the cheapest key.
Cheapest Key, Kathleen Edwards and her band, live on stage at World Cafe Live. More from Kathleen coming up, including the first song she wrote for the new album, Asking for Flowers, when we get back here to the World Cafe. We'll get back to more from Kathleen Edwards on the Cafe today, Asking for Flowers. Her new album was co-produced by Edwards and producer Jim Scott, who has worked with both Tom Petty and Whiskey Town, among many others. Scott helped bring in some well-known players to work on the album, people like Ben Montench from Tom Petty's Heartbreakers, drummer Don Heffington, and bassist Bob Glob, who played with a lot of folks back in the 70s, like Jackson Browne and Warren Zevon. I asked Kathleen about the experience. This album, you worked with Jim Scott, who I know from backs of Tom Petty albums, but apparently that's not where you first learned about him.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Tom Petty's Wildflowers was like the soundtrack to my young life.
And a good one.
Yeah.
It was a Stranger's Almanac, though, you said was really an important album for you.
Yeah, super important. I think it was the first time I really considered that there's a great history of country music in all of us that's really centered around the song and all the, you know, the twang and sort of the new country sound doesn't equate country music to me. And so it was like the first time I got to hear pedal steel in a way that I went, yes, that's how I like to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the hilarious thing was that Stranger's Almanac just got re-released, and it got re-released on the same day my record came out, which was just a strange twist of fate.
We're talking about the classic Whiskey Town album. And of course, he brought along some Ben Montench was on the record. And I have a hard enough time talking to musicians that I really admire. What's it like to play, having to play with these people? That, I mean, it must have been at least a little scarifying.
Yeah. It was the first, for day one, going down to Jim Scott's place and meeting Don Heffington on drums and Bob Glob on bass and Ben Mont. It was pretty intimidating, but I knew Jim well enough at that point that I knew he was asking people who were close friends of his, people who he really enjoyed being around. And I think immediately I was much more at ease with them for that.
Did you end up writing any there in the studio?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah. I ended up writing a song called I Make the Dough, You Get the Glory in the studio. Half in the studio, half in my hotel room, and accompanied by a bottle of Chardonnay.
It's an ongoing theme. Well, yes. You've picked up the violin we were talking about earlier. You want to do one featuring said instrument?
Yeah. It's called Goodnight California.
Thank you.
Colin Cripps.
That's I Make the Dough and You Get the Glory from Kathleen's new album. Now, Kathleen, on that album, you compare a lot of things, and some of them are kind of apparent, like Shadow Enough and Yellow Label. But there's a hockey reference there that not everybody might get. I mean, the great one, I guess people can translate as Wayne Gretzky, but Marty McSorley.
Marty McSorley played with Wayne for many years, and during the great days of the Edmonton Oilers, Marty McSorley was what some people would describe as the goon, and... some other people would call the enforcer. When Wayne was transferred, traded to the Los Angeles Kings, he insisted that Marty McSorley be part of the trade because he always had his back, and Marty dished out a lot of hits and took a lot of hits so that Wayne could be the great one. It's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And has Marty heard the song? Do we know?
Yes, he has heard the song. And he has also agreed to participate in the making of the music video for this song.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is amazing. I can't wait to meet him. There's this guy who I think he's in Maine somewhere. He makes me these cookies. They're like gingerbread men cookies. And he made me a bunch of Ottawa senators. He made me like a whole team of gingerbread men. And then the senators lost in the playoffs very quickly, of course. And he sent me by courier the other day a Marty McSorley and a Wayne Gretzky. And it was really cute.
They could be in the, if Marty can't make it, the cookies could be in the video. No.
there's a proposed kissing scene in this music video, so I'm really hoping it's not going to be with a gingerbread man. Although Colin will probably be happy about that.
That song is also kind of very nostalgic about the beginning of when you started playing. And Jim was in your band?
Yeah, that song's about Jim Bryson.
That's what I thought. What is it like, Jim, for you to sit here every night and, you know, what do you think about the lyrics?
It's very sweet that she did that for me.
Aw.
That's all he's allowed to say. Back in your cage.
But when you were first going out, were you doing your material, or were you doing covers, or what was it like when you were first, the days that song kind of seems to talk about?
Probably a little bit of both.
We played your songs, lots of your songs.
We played lots of my songs. And we play, Jim was one of those, he was a songwriter, and when I first started in Ottawa, he was someone I would go and see play, and his songs just blew me away. He was a total influence on me.
Cool.
No pressure.
Tom Petty and Jim Bryson.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Good.
In that order. No, just kidding.
The first song that begins the disc, I understand, was the first one you wrote, Buffalo.
Yeah.
And what was the circumstances of that one?
Like I was saying earlier, we live not far from Buffalo. Colin and I, we live in Hamilton, Ontario. And we had some friends from Austin, Texas, who decided to come visit us for a beautiful Canadian fall trip in October. And October in Canada, especially in southern Ontario, is that time of year where it can freeze at night. And so we checked the forecast. We were picking them up at about 11 o'clock at night. And we checked the forecast, and nothing was called for. And we drove down to Buffalo to pick them up. And about 20 miles outside of Buffalo, we just suddenly were in this massive blizzard. And there's this thing called the lake effect, I guess, where these the two of the Great Lakes collide, and there was a major storm system that just kind of blew in from nowhere. And so literally in 20 minutes time, it was suddenly free and clear and easy driving to shut down highway and cars in the ditch. And Colin was really pissed off, and because he doesn't deal well with the snow. He doesn't like that. He's had enough. And I thought it was really actually kind of perfect. And I had been having a hard time writing songs up to that point. And so this moment in the car, I could hear this soundtrack to all the things that like we couldn't get to, and it sort of like paralleled my songwriting life. And I was able to write that song a week later, and it kind of broke the ice for writing the rest of the record.
Wow. And you can do that one?
Yeah.
The summer months left me alone, but the fall rolled in on the back of a storm. In the night, you and I drove. Have you ever seen lightning and snow? All these weeks
Thank you.
Buffalo, the song that begins Asking for Flowers, a new Kathleen Edwards album, finishing up our set today. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining Jim Bryson on stage today. It's really great.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks again to Kathleen and the band, our guest today, Kathleen Edwards on the Cafe.